One last slow turn around the creaking floors and stairs of the old house. There was the big main staircase and the narrow back flights, which brought him through what must have been the kitchens to the unlocked door to the music room. The cramped top floor with its attics for servants seemed even colder. He checked one of the turret rooms again and felt something burst toward his face, slashing and tearing, hot blood on his cheek near his ear.
Ah, fire blast!
He staggered back and nearly fell, his right hand punching up at his assailant. He watched as the huge owl panicked its way through the empty frame of the window, flying off into the safety of the night.
Ah, bitch and gaudy whore bastard!
He dabbed at his cut face with the back of his hand, feeling that the cut wasn't much more than a surface scratch. But the shock had been real enough. Ryan walked to the casement and leaned on the frame, sucking in the cold air, steadying his breathing and his nerves. He stared down into what had once been the back garden of the house, past some overgrown apple trees and currant bushes. He saw movement, a flicker among the deep pools of shadow that surrounded the mansion. After the false alarm of the owl, Ryan wasn't about to open fire and find he'd smeared a rabbit all over the ground. As light as a big cat, Ryan picked his way down the main stairs, arriving in the entrance hall on the first floor. The door had an old stained glass pattern to it, acanthus leaves, twined with some unidentifiable purple flowers. The moonlight came and went as the wind drove clouds across it, and the colors flowed and merged on the dusty floor. The only sound was the bright crackling of the dry wood in the hearth, beyond the locked door to Ryan's left. His pistol was in his hand, a round ready under the hammer. There were heavy iron bolts at top and bottom, and a rusting sec chain near the broken mortise. Ryan opened the top bolt first, wincing at the thin screech of corroded metal. He stooped to release the lower bolt, checking that the chain was still in place, hooked over the hasp. He waited a moment for the return of moonlight. When it came, he turned the ornate brass handle and put his good eye to the gap, squinting out into the garden. But his view was blocked. The cold moon was to his right, free from clouds, making the porch almost as bright as day. They were out there, ringing the front of the house, standing quite still, like a scattering of obscenely grotesque statues, born from the crazed imagination of some long-dead, demented gardener. The nearest of them was actually on the porch, less than a yard away from the front door. It wasn't possible to tell either the age or the sex of the mutie, who stood several shambling inches taller than 7 feet, with shoulders broader than an M16 rifle. Its hair straggled down either side of its face, lank and matted with glittering streaks of orange clay. One lidless eye, weeping a colorless liquid, was roughly in the middle of its left cheek. There was no nose, just a semicircular hole above the chin, fringed with tendrils of pale skin that trembled in time with the thing's breathing. Ryan saw that it didn't actually have a proper chin. The lower jaw was missing, and a row of jagged stumps protruded from the setback upper jaw. It wore a long, shapeless sack of filthy material that reached clear to the planks of the wooden porch. The mutie had two seemingly ordinary arms that ended in crooked fingers. The right hand gripped a gnarled club of wood with several pieces of iron hammered into it. Beneath the normal arms, Ryan saw that the mutie had several sets of paddle-like residual arms, becoming progressively smaller. During his travels in the Deathlands, Ryan had seen some appalling cases of genetic mutation, resulting initially from the nuking of 2001, but never anything quite as gross as this. For several moments of stopped time, Ryan and the mutie looked at each other. In those steady, beating seconds, Ryan looked past it, running his eye over the remainder of the group, which numbered about 20. The moon flickered and died, but Ryan had seen enough to know that whatever stood on the porch was a prince among its peers. Some of the others were unbelievably monstrous in their mutations, and all carried some sort of rudimentary weapon.
Goodbye.
Muties! Up and at 'em! There's muties!
The tip of the great club appeared in the hole for a moment, then disappeared, then came crashing down a second time, knocking the door clear off its frail old hinges. The mutie stood there, stooping to enter the house. Its face was in deep shadow. The door to the music room swung open, and Ryan saw JB's face in the gap, peering out behind the stubby barrel of his mini-Uzi.
Dark night!
Let's get the fuck out of here!
Ryan spun around and put a burst through the middle of where he assumed the mutie's heart might be. The giant staggered back onto the porch, tearing away half the frame of the door as it went. But it didn't fall. A second burst from the G-12 put it down. Ryan could hear a dreadful sound from outside.
Through here and out the back door.
Ryan glanced over his shoulder, but none of the muties had yet appeared. He darted into the music room, seeing that the fire had sunk low. The others were up and ready, blasters in hands.
Bad?
Jack and Donfu bolted the heavy door behind Ryan.
Muties like you've never seen. Real big. But I figure they don't have the brains of a self-heat can between them. Maybe best we outrun them. No point wasting good lead.
Lori appeared from the far door, at the bottom of the rear stairs.
They're out there, through the old kitchens. 5 or 6. No blasters. Axes and some getting knives.
More than that up front. Jack, pile all the wood we've got on the fire and set the floor burning. Place will go like a torched gas wag. Give the muties something to think about.
While the boys scampered to carry out his orders, Ryan cautiously led the other 5 into the rear hall. A face appeared from the blackness, pressed against the glass of a small window opening off the kitchen area. It took a second to see, but the skull was totally bald, covered with what looked like small pinkish-white worms, or maggots. Christy snapped off a shot. It sent the mutie out of sight in a spray of glass and blood that was almost black in the moonlight as it splattered over the white walls.
2 down.
Jack joined them, silhouetted in the doorway against the dazzling light.
5 bone all. Flowing was all bone. That's gone real soon, I guess.
You got much ammo, Ryan?
Not that much. 44 in the G-12, and a few singles.
I got more. Best I go first and clear the path. You figure these sons of bitches are slow on their feet?
From what I've seen, yeah, they are. Hey, that fire's gonna catch us if we don't make a move now.
There was a gust of raw heat that scorched the 7 companions, huddled at the foot of the dark spiraling staircase. For a moment, Ryan considered trying to lure the muties into what would be an inferno in a handful of minutes. But the rule was always to get out when you could. He motioned for the armorer to go first.
I'll come last. Anyone falls, we stand and fight for the time to get them up and away. Head out as far as you can. I'll hold off any pursuit, right? Then let's do it, friends!
The next 60 seconds were a blur of violence, noise, and death. There were 7 of the creatures. One was probably female, as was naked to the waist and had a cluster of dangling breasts across its chest. Another had arms so long that they scraped on the frost-rimed grass. A raking burst from the Uzi sent half of those arms spinning away in a tangle of normal and residual limbs. The others were close behind JB, picking their targets. But it was difficult to shoot on the run, and only one more of the inbred monsters was hit. Ryan hesitated for a second, looking back into the burning room. Tongues of flame leapt eagerly at the old floorboards, climbing the paneled walls. Already a chunk of the ceiling was blazing. Through the other door, Ryan glimpsed something very low near the floor. Something pale and slug-like that moved on its belly in rippling movements. He aimed the G-12, then changed his mind, powering after the others into the cold night air. The garden was filled with chaos. Ryan hurdled a corpse and dodged a hissing blow from an enormous scythe-like blade. Another of the muties, who was gutshot, reached out and tried to grab Ryan as he darted by, but the man was too quick, dodging sideways and making for a break in the bushes where the others waited for him.
We could chill them all.
JB pointed to the rear of the house. It looked like most of the muties were there watching them, 50 paces away, ignoring their own dead and wounded. Even while the two sides stared at one another, a bursting sphere of flame shot out through the side of the mansion. It wreathed around the heads of the muties, sending them into a gurgling, screeching, huddled group, several of them actually falling to the dirt.
Time to move.